Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty. This is a Thursday trade edition here. We've got Mike from Canada with us today. So, Mike, thanks for joining us. We've got some requests, and this will be pretty interesting. A couple of big changing names, top 40 assets entering the season, and I think it'll be interesting to see where they land up. So let's start with Calvin Ridley first. He is on, I guess we would call it a personal leave at present. He is away from the game. So let's see what we think about his value. Calvin Ridley for Robert Woods.
I think this is Robert Woods. Calvin Ridley. I think Ridley is exactly the profile we want. I think people are spooked on him. And I kind of see why. I mean, there's uncertainty. But... you know, I'll take Ridley here. I think there's a lot of positive things, you know, that could come out of this. I'll take Ridley for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And let's do a couple more. And then because I sort of have an interesting, like what I think sort of ties this together. Ridley for Fournette and Dawson Knox, that's non-tight end premium. So that's just a regular stock PPR.
Like I said, Ridley's 26, density track. You know, I like Fournette, but a non-premium, I'll take Ridley too.
Let me ask you a question. In terms of how long Ridley is gone, if I told you that Ridley is gone for the rest of the year, does that change your calculus on either one of these?
No, I think for me, if the only way I lose the trade is if Ridley never plays again, you know, then I'll take the Ridley side.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's an easy way to frame it. That's an easy way to frame it. If the other side can't beat you.
Coming back, I get the concern.
Yeah.
But he's going to get the best money, the best care money can buy. It's not a guarantee, but it doesn't hurt. I don't think that he woke up a month ago and just was overwhelmed with whatever he's dealing with. I have a feeling maybe there was a catalyst, but you know, to me, maybe he comes out of this even better than before.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
I think it's likely that he's been dealing with some sort of mental illness and maybe that held him back.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, is like we're recording this on the heels of the Henry Ruggs thing. And you just sort of frame, I mean, it takes a certain level of, you know, he's obviously innocent until proven guilty, but it takes a certain mental state to be a 1.6 driving 162 miles an hour or whatever it was, 150, whatever, north of 150 miles an hour in your Corvette down a road that has other cars on it, right? It takes a certain level of mental state. And it's an interesting dichotomy between where Ruggs found himself and the fact that Ridley's stepping away and trying to seek some help. Yeah. And you just sort of like, you know, it's a good thing. And you just kind of hope he gets back, right, from a fantasy perspective. But it's really good that he didn't end up sort of where Ruggs did. You know what I mean? Because it's not probably dissimilar in terms of what's going on with them.
Yeah, I think that, like, we don't know Calvin. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we have any, like, flags in his past. Like, he seems to be a fairly well-put-together individual.
Yeah.
So I don't see any real, I mean, who knows, but mm-hmm. to me, I think he's going to be fine. I don't think we have any reason to think he won't be.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. I'm sort of looking at these, like we have Watson on the list too for trades later. I kind of view these in like that. All right, let's just assume we lose Ridley for the year. Sort of where do we put him? Right. And the interesting thing with him is, again, it's like for all intents and purposes, if he steps away from the game, like I'm just assuming it's a lost year. Again, he could come back tomorrow and be a pleasant surprise, but that's kind of the tax that I'm putting on it right now. Wide receiver 8 in the offseason, 402 was his median draft position. You sort of look at the range of guys. It's Diggs was 6. You know, Lamb was right in front of him. Chase was after him. You figured those guys go in front of him. And then after that, it gets to an interesting spot because I was like trying to sort of do the math on how far he would fall. Like, I'm not sure in terms of if we're thinking about February draft position, right? What we think about where startup drafts are going. Is DeAndre Hopkins going ahead of Calvin Ridley?
Like in the future?
Yeah, like if we look in a couple months from now and we're in a startup draft, who goes first?
Yeah.
And I think it depends a little bit on what the status of Ridley is. Mm-hmm. You know, and if there's still uncertainty at that point, I think it's a closer call. Right. But if Ridley's back, I think it's Ridley. Right. I mean, if and then you start looking at the guys that went after them, you know, Terry McLaurin and Ridley, probably close. Yeah. Michael Thomas isn't going to be ahead of Ridley. Nope. DJ Moore is probably ahead of Ridley. Yeah. Chris Godwin, we'll see. Allen Robinson. No. Keenan Allen. I mean, that's a conversation piece. Brandon Ayuk. No. T. Higgins. Again, that's a conversation starter. And then you get in the Cooper Evans range, right? Deontay Johnson's down there. We'll talk about him in a minute. But you sort of get, there's only so far that he can fall, is I guess the point. Like, you look like off of his cost from last year, it was an early fourth. Like, he probably only can fall to like the fifth or the sixth round, even in like a worst case, we don't really know where he is scenario. And any further than that, he's going to be a smash pick. So it's interesting when you sort of contextualize that. You know, that sort of framing of it, I think it's
insulation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And production insulation. We know he's good.
Totally. Totally. Totally.
So yeah. If we can get him at a discount, I understand taking, I understand discounting him a little.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Because there's uncertainty. We should discount him. But a little bit. And then we'll buy that. I think this is a chance to, you know, there's some fear, and like in the stock market, you make money on fear and greed. Okay. When there's fear in the market, you make money by not being scared, placing good bets, but not being scared.
Right.
So, and when there's greed, well, you make money by not being greedy. So,
right.
You know, this is one of those chances, I think, to capitalize. If it goes bad, it goes bad, but I think we should try to take advantage.
I'm so much more open to these situations as compared to the past. So like the Tyreek Hill situation feels like and again, it takes a certain stomach for it. And it's, if you're playing in one league, it's probably different than if you're playing in 30,
yeah.
But it takes a certain stomach for it. But the Tyreek Hill situation, this one, Deshaun Watson, like any of the injured quarterbacks like Dak last year, like all of those situations, I just keep coming back to, if you're buying the person that can influence the outcome of the league, because there's not very many of those guys that truly can bend the arc of the league, you have to be in on him. Like when there's a depressed cost, and Ridley is that type of player. Like he has wide receiver 1 in his range of outcomes.
Yeah.
And he's disappointed this year, but I still think that's there for him he's in a better spot type of scenario. So all of these trades, and there's a few more that we'll talk about, I think they get more interesting too as we go along here. So okay. Ridley for Michael Pittman in a second. Again, these are all super flex trades. So the picks are all super flex rookie picks.
Yeah. Ridley, and we could substitute Pittman for like Bateman,
mm-hmm.
Like any of these guys that maybe even Judy, like, you know, mm-hmm. like that one's a little closer for me, but yeah, I mean, I think you try to capitalize and take the stud. Pittman might end up being Ridley.
Yeah.
So
right.
Take Ridley.
I this was the one of these that where you were giving like a lesser player for Ridley. This was the one that made me flinch the most. Because so like there's so this one I might take. I might take the Pittman side of this, and the reason why is I think they're relatively close next year, and then you're basically getting a second on top of it. Like, I actually think in a couple months that Pittman might go ahead of Ridley in startup drafts, especially if there's uncertainty. Now, if Ridley comes back tomorrow, I don't think that's true. So that second's giving you a little age insulation. I think it matters what game you're playing too with this. I think the more productive player for the rest of their career is probably Ridley, assuming he plays again. But I think it's interesting about, you know, what the Pittman market versus what Ridley costs and say, you know, on Valentine's Day, for example. I think they could be pretty close and you're getting a second as insulation on the other side. It's an interesting one. Because then there's
Pittman's gonna hit, right? Pittman's probably gonna hit this year.
Yeah.
So, and Judy's not going to, and Bateman's not going to.
Right.
So yeah, I see that. I get it.
And Pittman's on the track of like a top like 12 to 15 guy in terms of like expected points. Like, that's an enormous profile. He's one that I think he hasn't gotten there yet in terms of posting it on the board in terms of a hit, but he is absolutely on the track of like, wow, this is a really interesting profile. And then we get, so here's a couple of the other ones that are like by, like, again, you're pivoting to almost an immediate need. So Ridley for Thielen, which again feels like, just to give you an idea, that's a fourth round startup pick last year for, you're going all the way down to like the ninth round. Like, that's how much of a loss that is. And it's not like Thielen's going up in cost. So you're taking a huge market loss, mm-hmm. which feels pretty crummy.
You only win that if Ridley, I think, doesn't play again.
Right.
And even then, even if you take Thielen and you don't win the title this year, next year, like, you lost.
Right. Ridley for T. Higgins in a third.
Right. Did Higgins hit last year? He didn't, right?
Just missed. I think he was like wide receiver 26.
Like a Cooper Kupp hit.
Yeah. Exactly what he was. Exactly what he was. Yeah, that's a good name for it. Yeah.
I'm probably higher on Higgins than most, maybe.
Uh huh.
He's sort of buried there, I guess, with Chase just going crazy. But I could. 2022 third doesn't really excite me.
Right. Right.
What do you think?
Yeah, so I sort of framed this one against the Pittman one, and I'd rather have Pittman than Higgins, and I'd rather have the second than the third, right? So I think I would take Ridley in this one, and I'm a little bit – I just think that Higgins' range of outcomes is lower than Pittman's is, because I could see Pittman being a wide receiver one. I just can't with Higgins because he's blocked, right? He's blocked. He's blocked from a really high ceiling as a wide receiver two on his team because Boyd's there, and he's blocked from being a one there. Because Chase is there. He's just kind of pinned in. And maybe it's a higher floor situation, but even their offense isn't super conducive to wide receiver production. So, yeah, I'm taking Pittman, and I think it's even more impressive with Pittman that he's doing it without a particularly good quarterback, which I think is, you know, that take got me in trouble with some of Eagles Twitter, but hopefully this will be a little bit less troublesome. All right, here's one that's interesting from a total buy of Ridley. Ridley in a second for Lockett. Like, some of these are all over the place, and maybe the lesson from this one is like, yeah, we're taking the Ridley side, but try. Because, like, I've seen Ridley for a fifth, right? So, like, they're all over the place in terms of different valuations. So you might get told no, but the chance of there being a deal out there for you, you don't know unless you ask.
Yeah, maybe you get a good counter, right? So yeah,
totally. And this is one of those tactics too, where it could even be before you offer, you just send a message. Hey, what are you looking for? Because, like, again, I did that with a Barkley one. I think I told a story in the book where I did that for Barkley, and I would have never guessed what they asked for. Never. Yeah. And again, it hasn't exactly worked, but I still would do the deal 100 times over. It was like a first and a third. Like, yeah, I absolutely do that.
Yep, absolutely.
And you wouldn't necessarily know if you're trying to take just a random shot in the dark at the Ridley owner what they want. So I think it's interesting. So here's one that I think has a variety of different pieces to it. Ridley and a 2023 second So a second 2 years from now for Deontay Johnson and a third in 2022.
So Deontay, I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, right? I mean, this, this one's different. This one's different. And I think a way that, like, the picks are relatively, you're taking a year discount. Like, all right, just set the picks aside for a second. I think if your aim is, hey, I want to make sure I'm sort of preserving a core asset, this is how you do a deal like that, right? Like, you say, like, ah, man, I'm spooked on Ridley. I don't want to lose a core asset. I know I'm taking a market loss, but I want to get a guy that I feel at least good about. Like, this is how you do that deal, right? And assuming you're not getting a big return like the Pittman one, like, I think this is how you do that.
Yeah, it's a safer play.
And it might even have, like, you could say that it, I don't think Deontay Johnson at his best case is as good as Ridley can be at his best case, but they're probably of the range where it's not super different in terms of what their ranges look like. And again, it might be a little bit different at the ultimate, you know, at the 100% outcome. But at the 80s, it's probably not, it's, we're not talking about more than maybe a quarter of a win or something like that. So, you know, you sort of look at that and you're basically entirely protecting your downside at this. And I, it's an interesting construct. I'd probably take the Ridley side still, but, cause I think he's going to come back and play, but I think that's an interesting construct and sort of doing
probably,
it.
If you're really spooked on him, that's probably, that's a smart way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's do some, well, let's do some Ridley let's do some Henry deals. So we got Derrick Henry, presumably going to be out for the year. Jones fracture. I'm just presuming he's out for the year. Like, maybe there's a late season uptick or something like that. I don't think that's, I don't think he's going to impact any more of the fantasy season. I guess I'll say that. Henry, and we had an interesting discussion about this in the group me chat. Henry for Chubb.
Yeah, I listened to the show last night, which I usually do, and it kind of changed me on Henry. I didn't realize he was that inefficient this year.
Yeah.
You kind of talked me into taking Chubb.
Which is kind of it's kind of wild because I was looking at it and I listen to a lot of like the bigger NFL media, not even necessarily fantasy, but just some of your bigger stuff. And they were talking up how Henry's been really good. And then I sort of looked at it and I was like, yeah, but he's been given the ball like a gajillion times. Every other stat is down, like yards per attempt, which I hate, is down, but he's right on expectation, right? His missed tackles per, you know, the amount of carries it takes for a missed tackle is way down, like your way, I guess, way up actually, you know, it's worse than it has ever been for him. Right. All of those sort of efficiency stats are down, but it was masqueraded by, you know, it's the guy that gets a, you know, a 20% pay cut, but then works twice as many hours. Right. Oh, wow. Look how much he's bringing home this year. Be like, yeah, well, he's working a lot harder for not the same rate. It's, right. You know, so it's an interesting one there. Henry for Barkley.
I'll take Barkley.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really see the argument. Barkley's got I think it's a freak injury what he's had here. I mean, with the ankle, and I mean, you watch him play. I mean, he's good. He's good.
Mike with the understatement.
Hashtag good.
Hashtag good. Yeah. Hashtag good.
So yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I'll take Barkley.
Yeah, that's the smash one. So just by way of reference, Henry was running back 9. In the offseason, he was 302 in super flex startup drafts. He was behind Cam Akers on the offseason. He was just ahead of DeAndre Swift. I mean, just tell me, like, stop me when you find someone that you think Henry will be ahead of in startup draft costs next year. All right. So you got McCaffrey, Cook, Barkley, Taylor, Kamara, Acres, which I think that's, Yep, that's one. All right, so we got five basically in front of Henry. Swift, Chubb, Najee Harris, Zeke, J.K. Dobbins.
So
interesting.
Yeah, Dobbins. I mean, do we treat an Achilles different than ACL?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think probably we do. Is that what Dobbins had? Was he an ACL or was he a foot? I can't remember what he had, to be honest with you. Was it an ACL?
ACL.
Okay.
As far as I'm aware.
Yep. You're right. It was. It's been a while since we've talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you treated ACL different than you treat an Achilles. So I would put.
I think Dobbins is good too.
Yeah.
Second, right? Second
round. Yeah. Yeah. They're close. I think they're in the same ballpark. Then you got Gibson. You got Edwards-Helaire. Then you get down to the Jones range. So it's Aaron Jones. It's Mixon, Eckler, ETN.
He's probably there, right? He's probably Mixon, Jones, Eckler.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the question that I have is like, all right, so then even you look a little bit further, like you've got Javonte Williams and then you got Josh Jacobs and Montgomery. And that basically puts you around like running back 20 to 22 in this offseason. Wow. And I don't think next offseason, who would I rather have? Would I rather have Derrick Henry? Or would I rather have, Josh Jacobs or Derrick Henry or David Montgomery, for example? Any of those guys? I mean, I think the answer is probably Derrick Henry. However, what I think is interesting is if you get 8 weeks, and again, with Montgomery, it's tough because he's not healthy right now. But if you're talking like, Aaron Jones or Eckler or any of these guys that are going to be about the same cost as him, if they're going to be close in the offseason, you have to take them now. Because it's a potential win difference to your team by trading Derrick Henry there. Like, and it's, even with Mixon, like, and I guess the way I framed this in our group chat was, if you are going to be in a situation where, all right, Henry's going to be 28, right? What is 8 games of his career that he is going to lose right now? How much of his fantasy difference making prime is that? And it's a
19.7%.
Yeah,
last night
you put it on the number. And how'd you get to that math?
Well, I said two. He's got 2 years of mm-hmm. Of being potentially elite. So that's 34 games, right?
Yeah.
And plus the 8 games this year. Mm-hmm. 8 divided by 42.
Right.
That's how they got the number.
Right. And so if you take that as whatever his value is from now until and he's going to be dropping and stuff, but. If you take 20% off of his value, again, and that's assuming he comes back and this isn't foretelling some sort of decline, that's a big swath of the rest of his career. I mean, that is a lot of time. Right? It doesn't seem 8 games doesn't seem like all that much until you say it's about 20% of the rest of his difference making prime. You're like, whoa. Yeah. All of a sudden, I think that has to change the calculus. So again, it brings in guys like Jacobs because you're getting an edge right now. Again, I think the more likely outcome is that Henry makes a bigger difference next year, but you're getting a lead on that at a point where, and you're probably contending too. So that's the other thing about this is like, do you sort of mortgage the future for maybe a little bit more secure present? And maybe a little bit less upside of a future, right? By trading Henry, who you've ridden this far, for someone else that can help you. I think I'd probably be highly inclined to do that for someone in the teens at the position would be kind of the way I'm leaning on this guy.
Yeah. Cause if you have Henry, you're probably, we're contending.
Right. Right.
So it's probably time to pivot.
Right.
If you want to contend. Yeah.
Totally. Totally. Where it's actually different for Ridley because he's probably not in that case. You know what I mean? Like, I think some of the other trades you'd take for Ridley might be a little bit different. Here's some ones that I think are different in terms of like straight up running backs. So you've got Derrick Henry for Elijah Mitchell, Jalen Reagor, and a second next year. We actually have 5 minutes left too. We've been zooming along on Henry.
Oh, Elijah Mitchell, a second and what?
And Rager.
No. I mean, okay, so Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would do something else with Henry.
Right. I'm with you. If the running back felt better, or if maybe Rager felt better, like maybe I'm interested, but that I just don't trust
giving away. That could just be giving him away.
Right. It could be. And who the hell knows what at any given moment, Kyle Shanahan, I trust Kyle Shanahan 0%. So, all right. Couple more here. So we went in deep on Ridley, went in deep on Henry. Let's touch on Mitchell here for a second. There's a whole bunch of flashpoint players in this one. So this isn't a good one to talk about. Mitchell and Alvin Kamara. And on the other side of that is Kareem Hunt, Michael Pittman, a first and a second next year.
I could see holding Mitchell and Kamara if you're contending.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Kamara's gonna make a difference next year. Mitchell might. I think it's close. If I'm contending, I'm gonna keep Mitchell and Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm really out of it and I want to pivot away from Kamara, Pittman in a first, and I mean, that's not great either.
Let me ask you this: when Kamara is back, or when Hunt is back healthy, how different are Hunt and Kamara at this point in their career?
Yeah, Kamara without Breeze.
Yeah. And it's sad to say that because I've been such a Kamara guy, but it doesn't feel like they're terribly different. And then you're getting a first, a core wide receiver, and a second on top of that. Like, again, the problem is, and the only reason you're getting this is because Hunt is hurt. But it's interesting when you sort of look at that. Like, this feels like a windfall if you want to sell Kamara. Like, this might be the best you can ever get for Kamara. Yeah,
it's not an easy sell. That's true.
Right. And at least you have options.
It was hard.
Right. And the other thing too, I'd say about Kamara is, like, if you want to do a deal like this, like, you can turn around and use those picks and come right back and say, all right, I'll give picks for, you know, I'll give picks for Fournette. I'll give picks for, you know, somebody, you know, I'll give a pick for Patterson, right? I'll give a pick for Daryl Henderson. Like, I can sort of make this trade another core running back to sort of add back in. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, maybe not necessarily a core running back, but another running back that can make a difference for me here going forward. I think it's an interesting point.
Cause when I saw the trade, I thought, well, what's the 22 going to be?
Mm-hmm.
The point is you're making is it's liquidity is what you're really getting.
Right.
Flexibility.
Right.
And yeah.
Right.
And yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah. All right. So we got 2 minutes left. We're going to do Watson. Got a couple Watson deals. Okay. Watson for Mixon straight up.
Watson.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, who's going to change the outcome of anything? Like, if it's anyone, it's Watson, right? Like,
yeah, it's hard to do. If you're getting a quarterback, take
Watson. Right.
It's hard to get a quarterback without giving a quarterback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% agree with that. Watson for Lance straight up.
Oh, I think I'm low on Lance because I'm mm-hmm. always on the other side.
Yeah.
I'll take Watson.
Yeah. All right. Watson and Dobbins for Russell Wilson. That's exactly what I said. A very pained expression on my face.
Man.
So does this come down to how you feel about Russ? Or sorry, how you feel about Watson in terms of, like, all right, like, I can get a high-end quarterback at the cost of an injured running back, and then I don't have to worry about the Watson situation. Is it as plain and simple as that?
I think it might be.
Right? Where you just sort of pivot and you're like, all right, like, I don't want to stomach the Watson thing anymore. I can pay the cost of Dobbins to get me a really good quarterback, and now I don't have to worry about it. And who knows what Dobbins is going to be.
You're getting Watson and Dobbins.
So, right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Watson, wouldn't you?
I still have the stomach for Watson, I think, but I see the move to move off of Russ. Like, I could see I could see Watson and Dobbins for Russ. I think that makes sense. Yeah. All right, Mike. It has been a half an hour on the number. Thank you for joining the Analytics of Dynasty. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.